In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, I want you to know that you have a really good pastor. In fact, I dare say you have such a good pastor that you have the perfect pastor. His name is Jesus. Today in the gospel lesson from St. John chapter 10, we hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd." And the word pastor from the Greek is the word for shepherd. So Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus is your pastor. One of whom God might place in your life to watch over you spiritually might readily be called a under-shepherd, a shepherd who is given authority to watch over the Lord's sheep, as Jesus told Peter to feed my lambs and to feed my sheep. Now, Peter does not replace Jesus, but that Peter takes up an office established by Christ to tend to his sheep. And they are not then now Peter's sheep, they are now Christ's sheep. Yet Christ gives Peter the authority to deal with his sheep for their good. And that is simply what continues to happen in the church today, that Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for all of your spiritual needs. He calls you to repent of your sins. He grants you the gift of the forgiveness of sins. He comforts you with the promise that whatever sins you have ever committed are not even considered in the conversation of what God thinks of you. And he does this through physical means. In the church, through the waters of baptism, through the bread and wine of Holy Communion, through the voice of an under-shepherd that is sinful himself, Christ is working as your shepherd. I want you to think about what I just mentioned, that Christ doesn't consider the things that you've done in the conversation of what God thinks of you. Now that's difficult for us to even fathom, because in our world, that's the basis for everything. When you size someone up, you're automatically looking at their works. So whether you judge a person to be a good guy or not, you're probably looking at what he's done. Is he a hard worker? Are his actions honorable? Or has he made some bad choices? Is it that he's selfish or prideful? Or if he's done some kind of a hideous act, then we say that this person is not a good person. And rightly so. If we hire someone for a job or if we entrust our things with someone else, we want to know whether this person does good things or does bad things. But what's so difficult for us to comprehend is that it doesn't work that way with God. When God looks at you and he thinks whether I'm good with that person or I'm against that person, he never even enters into the conversation, the consideration, whether you've done good things or bad things. It doesn't even come up. Because if he did, God would be against the entire human race because of our sin. And no amount of nice attitudes or kind works to others could ever erase the sin that we have against God. But when God looks at you, whether he's for you or against you, he looks not according to your works, but according to the works of Christ. The question isn't what have you done, the question is what has Christ done for you. The question isn't how good have you been. The question is, are Christ's works yours in faith? And when asking the right questions, we see that Christ does everything perfectly, and he gives you the credit for all of his works. And you can't be any more perfect or good than that. In the political world, especially on the left and especially at state universities, they're telling people that you need to give someone a warning before you say something that might offend someone. Because you don't want to catch someone off guard in saying something offensive and they would have a negative reaction. So before saying something that might be perceived as offensive, you're supposed to issue a trigger warning. Well, I want to issue a trigger warning for what I'm about to say. Here it is. Jesus says, "You are sheep." Now, in case you're not triggered, I'll point out to you why you should be. Because sheep, being called sheep, is not particularly a compliment. That notice that the animal that Jesus refers to you as is not the courageous lion or the self-sufficient bear, but sheep, defenseless little lamb. And more than that, sheep are known to stray away from that lush green grass pasture onto dead, dry ground for food. They're known to wander off and stray from the fold, even if you don't watch them, to wander right off the cliff. So when Jesus calls you his sheep, it's a perfect description of you spiritually. Because how so easily we wander away from the rich food that the Lord has provided, that he grants to us his holy word for food that provides for us everything that we need spiritually, but yet we wander off and look for fulfillment in anything else. Instead of hearing his word and having it be our guide, we let our feelings rule our lives. That if something makes us feel good, then it must be good. And if something feels unpleasant, then it must be bad. But sometimes that which God reveals to us as good isn't always pleasant. And that which is bad sometimes for a moment feels good. Or instead of hearing God's promises that he will take care of us and that he'll provide for us and he'll watch over us, we allow ourselves to be ruled by fear. You fear any and every possibility that something that you take comfort in, something that gives you security, might be robbed from you. And that makes you afraid, and you panic, and you worry with great anxiety as if God has abandoned you. Dear sheep, repent. You wander from the fold. Return to the promises of Christ and his word, for you have a good shepherd. A shepherd who brings you back to the fold time after time after time after time. Jesus is the good shepherd. But what makes the good shepherd good? What do we mean by good? Sometimes we say that a person is good, and other times we say pizza's good. So what is meant by good? Well, sometimes the word good is used to mean morally right or righteous. And Jesus is certainly that by his perfect life of obedience, Jesus is righteous in every single way under the law. And that is why he is able to bestow to us his righteousness through faith, because he has done it, and in that sense, he's good. But that's actually not what we mean by good in Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd," at least not according to John chapter 10. Sometimes the word good is used to mean qualified for a role and superior to something else. So it's like if I said, "That school is really good," I'm saying that that school meets some kind of a standard of what a school should be, and I am implicitly saying that some other school does not fit the bill. Well, when we read in John chapter 10, that is exactly the meaning Jesus uses when he says, "I am the good shepherd." That he fits the bill of what a shepherd should be and what a good shepherd should do. Because he contrasts it against someone who's not a good shepherd, That is the hired hand. Now, at first blush, just by taking a snapshot picture, there's really no difference between the hired hand and the shepherd. You could probably just look and not be able to tell which is which, that both the shepherd and the hired hand would be out in the fields with the sheep. Both would be guiding the sheep in the direction they want to take them. At first look, there's really no difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. But when you can tell the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand is when the wolf comes. Because the hired hand has really nothing personally invested in these sheep. I'm not going to risk my life for this $10 an hour job. The hired hand runs for safety, leaving the sheep to their death. The shepherd can't abandon his sheep because they're his sheep. He fights off the wolf. He even lays down his life for the sheep. That's what makes the good shepherd good. He's good because he lays down his life for the sheep. And that's where there's a bit of a departure from the reality of sheep and shepherds. Because even though the shepherd is a shepherd and not a hired hand, this shepherd would not likely die for the sake of sheep. It's probably that the shepherd, though it would be costly, would just go buy more sheep. But that's not what Jesus does. I suppose Jesus could just take this sinful world with all the sinners therein and just destroy everyone because of the lost and condemned condition. But he doesn't. He lays down his life for us. He lays down his life for sinners, for transgressors who rebel against his law. Jesus lays down his life for sheep who would rather wander off and be guided by every feeling that makes them feel good rather than the word of God. Jesus lays down his life for sheep who are ruled by fear and anxiety rather than to trust his holy word. Jesus lays down his life for you and for your sins that you would be forgiven of every single one. So, no trigger warning here. To be called the Lord's sheep, while not necessarily a compliment, certainly is exceedingly comforting. Because if I have to be sheep, I want to be the Lord's sheep. It is far better to be sheep of a good shepherd than anything else. For when the good shepherd makes us his own, we have everything that we could possibly need, forgiveness and eternal life included. Christ has made you his own because he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.